I'm starting, God willing, a new series on this Book of Acts. There are many views regarding this book, but all agree to its authenticity, to what happened to begin with. It's an opinion afterwards that seemed to vary. And you can make your own mind up. As a text, I would have Acts 2, verse 11. The last bit. The wonderful works of God. And then I'd like to read verses 56. No, 46. Sorry. Oh, yes. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized. This is verse 38. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Another title given to this book was the Works of the Holy Spirit. That's one title that is given. Another, the Acts of the Apostles. Both are true. And we see here the activity of the disciples. It's going to be a very simple introduction tonight. The wonderful works of God. That phrase thrills me. The wonderful works of God. And if you are a Christian here tonight, you are one of the wonderful works of God. A wonderful thing. It's a record of the early church. It seems far away. These claims are true of the work of the Holy Spirit amongst the people. So early, they make claims that ring with authenticity, and we are glad. Only for the apostolic age, this is a true once only experience. Now, I want to be very careful how I say that. This particular beginning is obviously a once only, but I hope we won't think that the whole of the book is a once only. There are special things here. The atmosphere, the reality of God's working, the story and the events of the early literally was an explosive event in the church. So much so that in Thessalonica, this was said about them as a result. These have turned the world upside down and have come hither also. This is regarding the apostles. Look who's come. Look at them. They have turned the world upside down, and they've come here. What shall we do? What are they like? Are they dangerous? Say that it is the wonderful works of God. Now, the day of Pentecost, you have to take that on its own. It had to be a great act of God. What they were like, in that they were in the upper room. And it's remarkable, really. They were in the upper room, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in the white apparel, which also said, Why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as he has seen him come down into, from heaven. And when they were come in, they went to an upper room. Now, I'd like to point out little things here. There they all continued with one accord. Notice, with one accord. There they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. It's as if they were saying, what do we do? Where shall we turn? The Saviour's gone to heaven. Yes, we believe he'll come again. But what shall we do now? Who will help us? And they were there praying, but there's one thing that's important, or else it would have been completely destroyed. They were of one accord, like one heart. Whatever number they were, 120 or so, whatever number they were of one mind, one desire, one accord. If one could have spoilt it easily, it would be destroyed. For one to have an unkind thought or something against his brother, that would have destroyed it. It had to be with one accord. And you'll find that Psalm 133, remember, when brethren dwell together in unity, there he commanded the blessing. So that is important. We have to work on that. I have to work on ourselves. Something wonderful happened at Pentecost. It is unique. You have to say, it had to be unique. All revivals share something of its quality, but they're not Pentecost. Was something. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This one accord in the upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we are given a list of all some of the people anyway, who were understood in their own languages. There are many. There's a large multitude, many countries. We do hear them speak in our tongue, what? The wonderful things of God. Now, let us consider the wonderful things of God. What were they? The incarnation. At a certain time, the fulfillment of promise, the Son of God was born. Born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and she was told that holy thing that shall be in thee shall be the Son of God. His birth, we call it the incarnation. The cross, where he died for our sins. The resurrection, where he rose for our justification. And the ascension, where they saw him go up into heaven. And the promise of the second coming. These are the wonderful things about him that essentially we need to know and believe. Now, the day of promise, some mocked, some were afraid. But Paul, I'll get it from here. But Paul, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It's been prophesied. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and the young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they all shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. So Peter stands up, a powerful figure. These people were amazed. What happened to these people? Look at those flames. Look at them. And so they reminded them of the wonderful things of God. Now they are wonderful. And even today, even in the laxes of churches, they will remember, maybe in a twisted way, the incarnation. They will remember the cross in an odd sentimental kind of way. They will remember the resurrection in some odd kind of hopeful way, but not collectively. What shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Now listen to this. They will say, what shall we do? This is terrifying. This is supernatural. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That's the gospel. Now listen. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that's another work. There is a work of the Holy Spirit that awakens us to believe in the first place. For the promise. Now, who is this gift for? Now, I want you to consider this. Turn it over in your mind. People have various opinions. Respect them. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now look at that again. To whom does this apply? I can see that the remission of sins applies to me. What about this gift? Gift of the Holy Ghost. To whom does that apply? Oh, look at this carefully. The gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise, the gift, is unto you, those who are there, and to your children. That's just one step. And to all others afar off, and all your relatives all over the place. Well, that's still the present time. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So that breaks the barrier of the immediate. This is not just for now. As many as God will call to eternity, it applies. It applies. However far away, the promise is twofold. The gospel repents, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The baptism of the Spirit, the reality, the work of the Holy Ghost, and you shall receive the gift. Oh, there we are. But he shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He's telling them, if you come to that place of remission of sins, and the gift of the Holy Ghost, wherever you go in these distant countries, you'll be blessed. And the multitude will believe. There'll be power in your witnessing. Power, whether witnessing public or private, but with power, effective, God's word is made effective. Now, the day of power. The effect of this, these they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, how many were there? Well, there's a crowd before that. They added 3,000. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So at this initial beginning of the church, there are remarkable signs as well, and you don't expect them to be repeated. A singleness of heart, and they continued daily with one accord. Notice the oneness. Can we achieve that? All us who are here now, could we say, I'm at one with every person here? And could you say, you're at one with every person? If not, it crashes to the ground. Right? If I may use an illustration from the 04, Evan Roberts was very sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. And he was in Aberystwyth, in Salem, Aberystwyth. And there'd been great expectations. The chapel was packed. And then he got up. He would often do this. He'd sit praying for quite a while, maybe 20 minutes. And then he got up and said, go home. Go home. Then he said, there are two here in discord. Go home. It's of no use. Now, a very famous one in Liverpool, because as many Welsh people are in Liverpool as anywhere, he was in which church? Was it Prince's Road? A big church. And it was full. But there had been a bet in a circus, nothing to do with the revival. And they said to two men who were hypnotized, hypnotize him. Hypnotize him. Make him look a fool. And he stood up and he said, will those two hypnotists go in the name of Jesus? And they were terrified and they fled. It was very unusual, but he was so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he will be able to pick any one of us here who are contrary to these things. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they continued daily with one accord in temple. Notice again, what were they doing? Every day they went to the temple, they were of one accord. It's essential. One accord. In the breaking of bread and eat them were there with gladness. And singleness of heart. The same thing again. They were of one accord and singleness of heart. Praising God and having, with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's interesting. They praise God daily. Who did he add to the church? The elect. The elect. Such as should be saved. Heaven is not cheap. Not in any way is heaven cheap. or commit, treated in any way with carelessness. The wise words, you know. Think evil of no man, of none. Speak evil of none. Do evil to none. But think good and think generously. You might say, that's easy. Is it? Is it? When somebody trod on your corns, is it that easy? No, it's not. But it has to be reached. What do we do if we don't? Well, what the church has done, we'll get a guitar. That'll bring the people in. We'll have jolly songs. We'll dance. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We could do all sorts of things by our own abilities. And what do they fill? Hell. Just hell. That's all they fill. Or with eloquence even. What do? All they do is fill hell. That's all. It is only the Holy Spirit that can bring a soul to Christ. He is at work when he finds a people that are of one accord, and of one mind, and one heartbeat, like that. Are you willing to venture on that journey? Have you work to do in your own hearts? And today, look at his active sovereignty and ask that we may glorify Christ of one accord, singleness of heart. Can we do that? Let us consider this now. I realize this is a very brief introduction. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart. Now listen, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire, and still stir up thy gift in me. And still stir up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death thine endless mercy seal, and make the sacrifice complete. Now really, what I've done tonight is just introduce you to the beginning of the most exciting thing that ever happened in this world. It opened the gates. It opened the gates. It opened hearts. It brought people nearer and started the long history of the Christian church. Many times it has been faithful, other times it has not. And the history of the early church, which I enjoyed, there was that variance where the church seemed to just glide away, then come back again. It's always antinomianism and selfishness and foolishness that can break up of one accord. And even if we all go home tonight, one thing in my mind, am I willing? Make me willing, Lord, to be of one mind, of one accord with my brothers and my sisters. Give me an honest heart with myself and with thee, that I might burn with an inextinguishable blaze. I'll have it leave there tonight.